So good. You guys look as good as you sound. Some of you are like, don't insult me that way. Hey, you sounded great. You sounded amazing. It's good to see everyone this morning. You are in for a treat. And we've had two phenomenal services last night and this morning, and seeing 11 people baptized. It's been just incredible. And, you know, we cannot take this for granted. I was talking to Pastor Jason about this. He goes, how blessed are we in this church? I mean, how absolutely blessed. And, you know, it's hard to relay how miraculous it is to see 600 people baptized in the last 3.5-4 years. That's insane. I mean, the average church in America, and this isn't a competition, I'm not putting other people down, I'm relaying facts, that the average church in America is 89 members, and they see one conversion every 3 years. And we get to see people come to Jesus every week in every service, and we get to baptize 30, 40% of them. And that is phenomenal. You cannot take that for granted. And every single one of these baptisms in this service will be just as phenomenal as the ones in the last two. And just rejoice, because God is using your time, your investment financially, and your talents to really bring people into this kingdom. If you just are now, you're at a place like, I show up and I try to be friendly and I'm trying just to get my life on track. Hey, just being friendly and smiling at somebody makes that welcome home sign true. And it helps people understand. So if you're a guest today, maybe you came to observe a baptism of a loved one, or you're watching online like many, many do. I counted it was 28 countries and states last week, and through this series that are watching, that is a blessing. We're thankful that you're here. We're so thankful you're here. And we want you to know as a ministry that we are about God's purposes. And there is nothing more important than sharing the good news of the gospel and seeing lives change. Whenever I get a little bit discouraged or overwhelmed, or things have just been like they have been now for decades, but really in the last year, just chaotic and busy 7 days a week, I just watch a baptism. I mean, I'll go back sometimes and I will watch our baptisms online. And I want to encourage you, go back and watch the other three services. My wife texted me last service, because she comes on Saturday night, and she was like, that was such a great service. And she just keeps watching the baptisms. And I would encourage you, go back and watch the other three services. This is your family too. Those are your brothers and sisters too. Though you may not see them every weekend, they're part of the same church. And to all of our extended family, our e-family, the same is true. Go back and watch. Last week, if you remember, I carried out a uniform of a veteran from the Vietnam War. And he had left it. He'd left a note. He was upset. And I just said, hey, listen, we want to make sure that he doesn't intend to harm himself or anybody here. That's our responsibility, to not only care for you spiritually, but take care of you. We have the most extraordinary security team. And You don't see them very often because they're stealth, but they're here. And we are protecting our children and our ministry all the time. And so I held it up and said, listen, if this is yours or you know this person, please call me. Well, I got a call. And I ended up yesterday on about a 30, 35-minute phone call with this man. And he just needed to get some things off his chest. And I started out saying, brother, listen, you won't find a pastor or a church that's any more grateful than we are for our veterans, our soldiers, our men and women in uniform, their families, all the sacrifices you've made. Thank you for your dedication and your service and your sacrifice to this country. And he was very grateful. And then he just needed to say some things. He just needed to share what was on his heart. I was able to explain some stuff. And one of the things that I shared with him, I think is very important and worth noting. And by the way, the conversation ended great. I invited him back to Grace. But he made a statement that he's come here and he's left a couple of times offended. And he shared the statements with me. And each of the statements that offended him were taken out of context. And I thought, you know, this is what happens sometimes is we will, especially in this series has been viewed by, you know, about 50,000 people if you add all the weekends together. And so you can imagine there's 50,000 opinions. And I've received over 150 love letters during this time. And so people have their opinions. And what I have had to say is, if you hear something and in the moment, the phrase or the statement gets to you or it bothers you or you're instantly formulating a rebuttal, you're not listening. Do you know why we don't listen as Americans? Because we're too busy thinking about what we're going to say next. True listeners listen, they take it in, they process it, and they're not usually the ones that are talking over you. They're the ones that pause before they answer. And then sometimes they ask more questions. Can you explain this? I don't get that. And in hearing a message for 40 minutes on a weekend, you're going to hear statements, believe me, because I do it intentionally, that have some shock value or that maybe go against the grain or go against conventional thinking. But when I got done explaining to him, we weren't arguing anymore. You know, he wasn't arguing with me. I shouldn't say I wasn't arguing with him. He was like, wow, I guess we do see most of this the same way. And I said, yeah, and I just want you to know you're loved and we would love to have you back. And so God worked through that situation. I wanted to make sure you were aware of it. And I love baptisms. And the reason I love baptisms so much is because I get to see people raise their hand every week that you bring to church, that you invite, that stop by because of the sign. I get to hear the stories, some of them in the foyer or during the week. But when you see a baptism, you are actually seeing a Christian. They're not becoming a Christian. They are a Christian. Matter of fact, baptism is not part of your salvation process. If you've been baptized as a child before you became a believer, it didn't take. Okay? Because biblically, you can't be baptized except through immersion after you've professed salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. So baptism is, you hear me say it every time we do a baptism, it's like your wedding ring. This ring doesn't make me married. I can take it off. My wife's still my boss. If I put the ring back on, it says to people, I'm married, okay? And it's very important to understand that. The baptism that we see today is an outward expression. This is what the Bible teaches. This isn't a preacher. This is the Bible. It's an outward expression of an inward transformation that took place at salvation. That may have been 20 years ago, and you just never took that step of obedience. That may have been 20 minutes ago when somebody shared the gospel with you. It may be today. Getting baptized is not part of the salvation process. There are religions that teach that. There are cults that teach that, but that's not what the Bible teaches. Matter of fact, Peter says in the book of Acts in chapter 10, now that these believers have trusted in Jesus, can anyone keep them from being water baptized? Significantly different experiences, okay? And so without going into more of that, because I'm going to teach on it for about 20 minutes, I want to share something. I love baptisms, and we have been privileged in this ministry in nearly 31 years. Our anniversary and our friendship weekend is March 12th weekend when we celebrate our 31st birthday. And I can tell you that we have baptized 8,800 people. And we have seen 8,800 people get in the tub and come out professing that they're committed to Christ. But if you look around on a given weekend, and sure, if you add the E family, maybe you might see 8,000, but you don't see 8,000 here, and you don't see those same 8,800. Why? Because when you make a decision to follow Christ, you are going against the tide of culture. You are going against a wave, a current. You have a spiritual enemy now. You went from being a spectator that Satan didn't worry about to a participant and enemy number one. And so that's why the church is so critical to help you, to encourage you, to be your family, to be there to walk with you, because if not, you're an orphan without a family. And so over the years, we've baptized many. I've personally baptized about 500 people and been overseeing 500 baptisms in the Amazon in 22 years. And we have seen thousands baptized in the Shawi tribe. We have 32 churches in the Amazon. We have 37 indigenous pastors. We have 8 indigenous missionaries. And our missionary couple, Doug and Blanca, which, by the way, keep praying for them. Thank you for the 300-plus love letters they got at Christmas time. It took 4 weeks to get there. Thank you for sending them. By the way, Blanca is, she's having a tough time with the treatment. And she's lost all her hair, and she's still as beautiful as ever. But, you know, you don't see them. You don't get to hear them. And they're still serving faithfully on our behalf. And so pray for them. But I was in the jungle. The very first time I was in the jungle in 1997, 98, Pastor Jim, Pastor Dan, and I went back. We prepared that whole year, went back, and it was basically a month in the Amazon. And we went to this village in Soledad, which has been our primary contact point with the Shawi tribe. And it was very much rustic and jungle back then. Even still, it's a little bit more modernized today, but not much. And so we go to this village. We're there for over 3 weeks, 22 days. And with the whole trip, it was about a month that we were gone. And when we get to the village, you know, I've been dreaming about being in the jungle my whole life. I couldn't wait. So we get there, and I want to explore, man. We haven't been on the ground an hour. I'm like, let's go. And Jim and Dan were not nearly as excited about it as I was, but they went. And so we're walking through this village, and we're walking into the jungle, and, you know, the jungle is the Amazon. I mean, there's everything you could possibly imagine. And we get down to this outskirts of this village, and there's this lagoon. I want you to imagine, like, if you ever saw the old Creature from the Black Lagoon or, you know, Anaconda or something, you see these Amazonian bodies of water, it looked just like that. And we got down in there, and I'm like, oh, there's got to be an anaconda in there. There's got to be caiman. You know, and Jim and Dan are standing there looking, and they're not excited. And then Jim said this, you couldn't pay me enough to get in that water. Fast forward 3 weeks. 3 weeks goes by. The river is dropping. In the 3 weeks that we were there, there was such a drought that the river dropped 20 feet on both banks. And the only place to baptize was in the middle where the current was, so we couldn't baptize. And there were 30 people that wanted to be baptized, 30 Shawi, by us. And so they said, oh, don't worry about the river. We have a lagoon. So we go to the lagoon, and I'm like, I guess nobody had to pay you anything to get in the water, did they? And so we walk into the water up to the waist. You can't see below the surface. Everything that touches your leg is an anaconda, you know. You're freaking out. Jim's standing on the shore. Paul is standing on the shore, Paul Johnson. He's preaching to over 200 Shawi. They're looking at us. They're actually looking at him, but they're facing us. And we're just standing there, and I look over at Jim and Dan, and, I mean, they're just scanning the water. And I look down, and I'm not kidding you guys, the head of an anaconda pops up. And I'm like, whoa. And then I notice, oh, wait, it's wood. It's just a piece of wood. And I'm like, but it scared me. I bet it'll scare them. So I took it, and I put it below the surface, and I leaned over and said, Jim, there's an anaconda in the water. And just as I let go, he's like, what? And it pops to the surface. He almost falls over. Well, Dan, oblivious to the whole situation, I grab it real quick before he sees it, stick it back under the water. He's like, what's going on? I go, there's an anaconda in the water. He's about to run. He looks this way. I put it even further. You know, the deeper it goes, the farther it pops. Pops up out of the water. He screams. I'm laughing. Really sacred moment. I'm sure the Shawi thought we lost our mind, but it was hilarious. And I'm not normally that sacrilegious at a baptism, but it was a fun moment. That day we baptized 30 Shawi, and it was just awesome. And over the years, we've baptized many. I baptized Wes Porter in the Amazon almost three years ago this summer. And, you know, you don't have to worry. You get in our tubs. They're clean. They're heated. No anaconda or caiman. But at the end of the day, it is baptism, and it is saying to everybody watching, I am not just a believer in Jesus Christ going to heaven, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ living God's purposes. And what does that mean? You know, it means this. The water makes us one. Next week, I'm going to finish the series, Love No Matter What, talking about racism. And we need to hear this, and we need to talk about it. Well, the water makes us one. When we come to know Jesus, we are one in Christ. We come out of the water, we are part of the global body of Christ that spans time and space, our brothers and sisters in heaven. There's no race. There's no male or female. There's no, you know, slave or free person. We are all free in Jesus. And, you know, people ask me, I got asked this after the last service, how come you don't baptize? And, you know, over the years, I did baptize many, many people, but I stopped doing it because it started to become a problem when I would baptize one and not another. And people were like, well, wait a second, I want my pastor. I'm like, hey, listen, we're all your pastors, okay? Doesn't have to be me, that's for sure. And so it's better for me to kind of oversee it and just share the stories and have our other pastors baptized. You don't even have to have a pastor baptize you. You can be baptized by your relative or your child or your parents or the person that led you to Christ. The Bible doesn't say a pastor must do it. If the person can do the greater act, which is sharing the gospel, they can do the lesser act, which is baptism. And so today as we celebrate, we really base it on this reality. I love the way the Apostle Paul approaches it. We always give you the Word of God in a print so that you don't even have to look it up. You can just look here on your notes. Paul says this, "For the Anointed One has sent me on a mission." And we've been sent on a mission too, guys. "Not to see how many I could baptize, although it's important, but to proclaim the good news. And I declare the message stripped of all the philosophical arguments that empty the cross of its true power. For I trust in the all-sufficient cross of Christ alone. My job is to teach the word of God and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ." Had a young lady come up to me. She served with YWAM. She was talking to me in the foyer last service. She goes, "I have looked forever, it feels like, to find a church that teaches the clear gospel of grace and shares it every week. And I found my home in the last 3 weeks." And I said, well, you can bank on that. That you can count on in this ministry. We don't do everything right. We made a lot of mistakes. We've done more wrong and more by accident than we've done on purpose or right. But we preach the gospel and we share the good news. So what is baptism and what does it signify? When the people get baptized, what are they signifying? First of all, they're signifying today that they are blameless in their identity. They're Christ-like. You say blameless? Yeah. They are coming out of the water, one with Jesus. And they've already made that decision to be one with Christ in salvation, but they're making it public. Look at this in Colossians 3. "Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. And now your true life is hidden away in God in Christ. And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are, will also be revealed, for you are now one with him in his glory." Guys, let me explain it this way. Being in Christ, let's pretend this envelope is Jesus, okay? It's pure, it's unblemished. When we're born, we are born with sin. We're born depraved. You don't have to teach a child to sin. They know how to say the word no when they first start to talk, all right? They have a sin nature. And the Bible says that we are all sinful and we're all separated from God. That's what sin means. And that means we've missed the mark. What's the mark? It's perfection. It's the righteousness of God. So when I come to that place in my life, when you come to that place in your life where we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, we admit our sinfulness, we repent, which means to change our mind, not our lives, our mind, and we believe in Jesus, we are in Christ. So when God sees us, when he looks at Rick, he doesn't see Rick's sinfulness. He sees Christ's righteousness. That's why Jesus died. And when Jesus died, how many of our sins were in the future? He died 2,000 years ago. Unless you're Pastor Jim, all of your sins were in the future. I'm kidding. All of our sins were in the future. Like I had to tell you, I was kidding, right? Anyway, so We have a new identity. We become one. When I grew up, my parents were foster parents. Now, the first 10 years of my life, we lived in different places. We lived in North Denver. We lived in a number of different places. And my dad worked hard, and my mom stayed home. That was their commitment to my brother and I. And so we didn't have a lot of extra money. And during that time, I met this kid in a neighborhood, and in time, my parents ended up meeting his parents, and they became foster parents. And so we went from living in a two-bedroom apartment to living in a house built in 1900 with about 15 bedrooms and four bathrooms. And it was a very much a culture shock. But what happened is my parents went into, I don't even like to call it a business because they didn't treat it that way. They went into the care of foster girls. The first year, they were in a receiving home. Sometimes the girls stayed maybe a week, maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks. And so hundreds of girls came through there in the first year. And then after that, it was more like, you know, dozens to maybe, you know, 20, 40, 60 a year, whatever it was. But they would live with us, and we had anywhere from 12 to 14 girls. So my parents cared for over 22 years, probably over 2,000 girls, okay? But here was the cool part. When my parents did this, they didn't have masters in, you know, social studies or human resource or foster care. Here's what they had a master in. They had a master's in loving people. And when these kids came in, it didn't matter what their background was, their race, their ethnicity, their religious persuasion, their socioeconomic standing, whether they were a prostitute who'd been taken from their home or a drug addict, whether they were an abused girl, my parents treated them with a new identity. You are part of the Long family. And that's how they loved them. I remember my dad saying to me in my 20s, I just feel like I need to apologize to you and Rob because we were so busy taking care of the girls. I feel like in some ways we weren't able to be there for you. I'm like, are you kidding? First of all, I'm not high maintenance. You know, I'm just like, gone, do my thing. I've always been that way. And my brother was just right with me. And I said, you guys are the most extraordinary parents on earth. What we were able to learn from them is how to love unconditionally. My greatest mission field and seminary for being a pastor was my home. See, when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you have a new identity. When you get baptized, you make that identity public. I am one with Jesus, and I am part of the body of Christ. You know what else? You have a beautiful eternal family. A beautiful eternal family. Some of you are like, well, family's everything to me, which is great. Family's everything to me too. But your biological family will not last after you die. There's only going to be one family in heaven. So if you're a Christian, you'll be with your eternal family forever. And you won't be known as the Gonzaleses or the Longs or the Smiths or the Browns. You'll be known as children of God. Now, he'll still preserve, and I'll talk about this next week, our distinct differences because he loves diversity. We're not all going to get to heaven and be black. Not going to all get to heaven and be white. Not going to all get to heaven and be Hispanic. Not going to all get to heaven and be Asian. We're going to all be part of the body of Christ, and we're going to still have our diversity. We'll talk about that next week. Look at Ephesians 2:19. So you are not foreigners or guests, but rather you are the children of the city of the holy ones with all the rights. Can you circle that? As family members of the household of God. My parents gave those girls the same rights as my brother and I. In some ways, they had more rights. And my parents loved them, and they treated them that. We had game nights. We ate every meal together. They had a fold-out lunchroom table like you had at school. It was standing in our living room. They folded it out, put another table at the end. My mom cooked for 22 to 24 people every day for 22 years. That's why she's like, hey, I'm done, bud. You're cooking for the rest of our life. But anyways, that's a whole other story. And so I look at this and I go, man, they brought such a beautiful family environment to these girls. And then finally, when people come out of the water, they have a brand new purpose. A brand new purpose. Now, when those girls came into our home, my parents gave them a different purpose. My parents shared the love of Jesus with them. They actually took them to church. They actually shared God's purposes. You know, I remember one year, 1980, my dad, who'd never had an extra penny to spend on himself, finally saved up, I don't even know, Dad, I should have asked you, probably $1,500. He bought a 1953 Chevy pickup, little black Chevy pickup. I was so happy for my dad. We used to ride around the back of it. It was a three on the tree. Kids, you don't even know what a stick is. This was on the column. I learned how to drive that. And, And so my dad would take us around. He loved his little truck. You know, it didn't have all kinds of Hot Wheels. It was just stock, but he loved it. And then that Christmas, the organization they worked for cut the finances for Christmas. So in other words, the girls would not have a Christmas that year. And my dad's like, that's not happening. And so he and my mom, they sold dad's truck. And he didn't announce on Christmas morning, well, I sold my truck so you could have Christmas. They don't know. Those girls still don't know. Some of them, you know, watch online, you know, but they'll find out today. He sold the truck for them. Why? Because they're part of the family. Because they belong to a beautiful family and they have a purpose. And he wanted to show them that that purpose includes God providing for them. When you are a believer in Jesus Christ, God says, I'll meet all your needs according to my riches. Look at this in Ephesians 1. Let me just read it. Through our union with Christ, we too have been claimed by God as his own inheritance before we were even born. He gave us our destiny that we would fulfill the plan of God who always accomplishes, look at this, every purpose and plan in his heart. When we plan, God looks at us like we look at our five-year-old child or my granddaughters. Good job. That's a great plan. It's really cute. Now let me show you what I'm going to do. And he blows our mind. Okay? He says, God's purpose was that the Jews, who were the first to long for the messianic hope, would be the first to believe in the anointed one and bring great praise and glory to God. And because of him, when you who are not Jews heard the revelation of the truth, you believed in the wonderful news of salvation. Now we have been stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. So the moment a person believes in Jesus, they're stamped by the Holy Spirit. God comes and resides in them through the Holy Spirit. It is a stamp. People who believe the Holy Spirit comes and goes and descends and ascends have a bad theology. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 say, in whom you also trusted after hearing the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were marked in him by the Holy Spirit, who is your inheritance, your deposit, guaranteeing your inheritance until the day of Christ's redemption. So God puts his earnest money on us. You ever bought a house? See, realtors out here, they're like, yeah, we like that earnest money. It ties people in. God put his earnest money. It's his Holy Spirit, guarantees your salvation. And he says he is with you until you die. And then you go to heaven, okay? He says, I have given that to you. So guys, every person today is a believer. They have the Holy Spirit in their life. They've already known this. They're going to heaven, but they're making it public. And you know what they're publicizing? That they are living for the purposes of God. And there are five purposes. God's word in every book of the 66 books in the Bible teaches us these purposes. Any church that understands who they are in Christ understands these purposes. They'll use words like discipleship and worship and fellowship and ministry and mission. Those are all great words. They come from the Bible. But they're all the purposes of the church. Look at Colossians 2 real quick. Through our union with him, we have experienced circumcision of the heart. All of the guilt and power of sin has been cut away and is now extinct because of what Christ, the anointed one, has accomplished for us. Listen to this really close. For we've been buried with him into his death. Our baptism into death also means we were raised with him when we believed in God's resurrection power, the power that raised him from death's realm. This realm of death describes our former state, for we were held in sin's grasp. But now we've been resurrected out of that realm of death, never to return, for we are forever alive and forgiven of all our sins. Just stop there for a minute. This is present tense Greek. This is now that you believed, you have been forgiven, and you've been freed from the realm of sin. You say, but I'm a Christian and I still sin. You've been freed from the consequences of sin, the guilt and shame of sin, the power of sin. Now you got a choice. When before you were a believer, you didn't have a choice. You could only sin. You're like, wait, I know lots of good agnostics and atheists. No, you don't. You know people that have the image that looks good, but they have one purpose, themselves, not God. So no matter how good they are, how generous they are, how benevolent they are, they're not living for God's glory. That makes it sin. He goes on to say this. He canceled out every legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all, our sins, our stained soul. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. For you were included in the death of Christ and have died with him to the religious system and powers of this world. Don't retreat back to being bullied by the standards and opinions of religion. For example, their strict requirements. You know what they say, religious people? You can't associate with that person. Don't eat that. You can't touch that. These are the doctrines of men and corrupt customs that are worthless to help you spiritually. Some of you are like, that's in the Bible? Because that's not what my priest told me. That's not what my pastor told me. That's not what my rabbi told me. No, because religion flies in the face of grace so often. Look, for though they may appear to possess the promise of his holy of wisdom in their submission to God through the deprivation of their physical bodies, it is actually nothing more than empty rules rooted in religious rituals. So why do we get involved in religion? Because it makes us feel better. Why do we participate? We think we participate in our salvation. It makes us feel righteous. Why? Do you know, I talk to people say, I want to feel bad when I leave church. Are you kidding? Well, gosh, that's easy. I could preach guilt all day long. Most churches do, but it's grace. Now, what are the purposes? These people are coming out of the water today, number one, for worship to God that has never been what it is today. Some of you are sitting here, you've been a Christian, and maybe even in your mind, you're like, I'm kind of ashamed. I never got water baptized. Don't be ashamed. Just do it. Do it. Maybe even today. We do spontaneous baptisms at the end of the scheduled baptisms. We have pastors back in the corners. When I go to prayer, you can go back and just chat real quick. Say, yes, I'm a believer. They'll talk to you about a few things. Come up. We have clothes. We have all the staff to help you with the process, except getting dressed. We have dressing rooms. We'll walk you through the whole thing. You don't have to say anything or do anything. You just have to take the step to be baptized. Until you do that, your worship is lacking because it's the first step of obedience. Why did Jesus get baptized? To show us what we're supposed to do. He didn't get baptized to say, oh, now I'm a follower of myself. He didn't get baptized to wash away his sin. He had none. He got baptized to show us. So if you want to truly worship God, and I'm not just talking about singing, but every area of your life, get water baptized. You know what else? They come out of the water to become more like Jesus. They're saying today, hey, family of Christ, hold me accountable. Pray for me. Love me as I follow Christ because I want to become more like him every day. They come out of the water to build loving relationships with other believers. These are fundamental purposes of every believer. This is what we invest our time, talent, and treasure in this ministry, is bringing these purposes and the grace gospel to everyone in the world that we possibly can. You know what else? They come out of the water to show compassion to those in need. Do you know the Bible has said, as Christians, we are called, as the church, to care for five people groups. Not the government, the church. The sick and afflicted, the hungry and homeless poor, widows and orphans, prisoners, and foreigners and immigrants. If the church would get together, stop spending all of its money on external devices, and start investing their wealth, we could rid the world of these problems, these five global giants, but we won't. This church is doing its part, and this church is committed to it. And so when they come out of the water, they say, I'm going to do this. And finally, they come out of the water to share the good news about Jesus with everyone. You know, I mentioned going to the Amazon jungle. It was a dream in my life. Before I close up and pray, and we have this tremendous time of celebration, I remember as a kid, I always wanted to travel to the Amazon. I don't know why that was such a big deal to me. I saw movies. I saw stuff at school. I read about it. When I finally got to go, it came far in the future for me. And it was interesting because there was an opportunity for me to go to the Amazon in 1986. I had a brand new son, or 87, I had a brand new son. My marriage was, you know, only 2 years old. We were struggling financially. I was doing ministry and working a job. And it didn't work out. And I thought, boy, that dream's gone. That's gone. I remember as a kid watching movies, you know, oh gosh, of course, as a teenager watching Raiders of the Lost Ark. Oh, I want to be an archaeologist. That's going to be so fun. Being an archaeologist is not fun. Okay. Doesn't look anything like Indy. All right. But as a kid, I'm like, I want to explore these places. When I put Christ first, when I said, Lord, I'm yours for these purposes, my life became the greatest adventure. And it has remained that. I never talk to anybody that I go, gosh, I wish I had their life. I go, God, thank you for all of it, the good, the bad, the ugly, because it's been a great journey. You know why? Because the focus of our ministry is we are a global church. Do you know that there are, that what we do on the weekend, I get people all the time, boy, I know you're working all week just to get ready for the weekend. Are you serious? We oversee 52 local and global ministries that function from our leadership, from our staff, and from our finances. And it is happening 24/7 in this ministry. So while you're at school, you're at work, you're taking care of your families, you're not able to do some of this stuff, we're doing it on your behalf. That's what's happening through this ministry. And our primary purpose is to preach the good news about Jesus, to tell people about Christ. If you can say Christ died for our sins, you can preach the gospel. If you can say he rose from the dead, you can preach the gospel. God has called all of us to be evangelists. And I'm not talking about the guy on the TV, send 99.99 and I'll heal you. No, not that guy, all right? Talking about sharing the good news about Jesus, okay? The potential price for this is people will hate you. Some people will hate you. We have to be honest with those getting baptized. We say, listen, the people of this church will love you. Many Christians will love you. But some people are going to despise you. I don't know if you've noticed in the American culture, the favoritism rating of Christians has dropped immensely. There's probably a good reason for some of it. But it's not getting any better. And so you need to understand that as you come out of the water, you have a target on your back. And that's why you need church. People say, so I don't have to go to church, go to heaven. Nobody said you did. You know, going to church, I get this one all the time. Going to church doesn't make me a Christian. I'm like, yeah, you're right. Standing in the garage doesn't make you a car either. But God commanded you to go to church. He said, I want you in church with every other believer. And he said, if you're not, you're an orphan without a family. That you can't live the purposes of God unless you're in a church. Did you know that? Because God is doing his global work through the church. And he says, I am going to build my church, not my parachurch, not my you know, little small group gatherings, but my church locally and globally. So guys, today we're going to celebrate what God is doing in this ministry. And what we do is I'm going to pray. Before I do, I want you to know this. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that means you have done a couple of things intellectually. You've come to the place in your life where you admit you're a sinner. The Bible says you have to admit that. You have to say, I'm a sinner. I admit it. I'm not perfect. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, separation from God and hell. You can't be good enough. You can't put sin on our good works on sin and make it go away. That doesn't happen. That's what religion teaches. That's not what the Bible teaches. As a matter of fact, being good isn't enough. Being perfect is the requirement. And not just perfect, as righteous as God, we're miserably missing the mark. So Jesus died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him, not behaves better, believes in him, not becomes part of a religion, believes in him, has everlasting life. If you have never done that, make that decision today, right now, in your mind. Just, I believe Jesus, I'm a sinner, I admit it, I trust in you, I know you've risen, and I'm receiving this free gift. You might even get baptized today. Some have done that. So I'm going to go to prayer. We're going to have everybody just bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. What will happen in just a moment is those who are getting baptized need to get up right now and make their way to the sides of the auditorium and to the front. You'll be met by our staff and they'll take you to the back. It's a little crowded back there. That's okay. Make your way up. If you're here and you've trusted in Jesus as your Savior, but you've never been baptized and you could just feel the Lord prompting you, or in your mind you're saying, I'm not waiting anymore, I'm doing this, then you go ahead and stand up and go to the back corners. We have pastors on each side, and just talk to them for a moment. They'll just ask you a couple questions and then they'll help you through the process. So you can get up and go to the back corners and talk to the pastor, and we'd love to baptize you. You don't have to say anything. You'll literally, the music will be playing, you'll get in the tub, the pastor will baptize you, and you'll get to be celebrated with the others. So as I pray now for all of you, before I do that, I want to say, if you're here and you've never received the free gift of salvation, don't pass up this free gift. Right where you sit, just talk to God silently in your mind. You can say something like this: God, I'm a sinner. God, I've done things wrong. But today, I believe Jesus Christ died for me. Today, I trust in him to take me to heaven. Friend, welcome to the family of God. Spirit of God lives in you. God will never lose you. He'll never cast you out. He'll never forsake you. You're going to heaven, and I want to pray for you. I'm not going to have you stand up or come forward in a moment. I'm going to have you raise your hand and put it right back down. That just lets me know you got it. So if you're saying, today, I believe and I receive the free gift of salvation, would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? Bless you guys. Thank you. Many hands. God bless you guys. Praise God. Hey, listen, you want to get baptized? You can do it today. If not, just text the word believe to 313131. Just text the word believe before you leave. 313131. And we'll give you a call this week. Pastor Scott, we've got a gift for you. I want to welcome you to the family of God. Thank you for this great, amazing, miraculous decision. And now, for those who are going to get baptized spontaneously, just go ahead to the back corners of the auditorium. The lights are still on. Father God, thank you for the miracle of salvation. Thank you for the joy of celebrating these who are getting baptized today. Lord God, we praise you for this miracle of salvation and baptism, for the many that trusted in you, and for the privilege of watching and celebrating these baptisms. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, when we do baptisms around here, we don't do golf clap baptism, okay? We get excited, we hoot and holler, we cheer, because these brave people are making this incredible decision publicly before the world, literally today, before the world. And so we want to celebrate them in every way. And then when we get to the point of worship, musical worship, we'll have those who are getting baptized spontaneously, and they'll be baptized during the music while you're singing, and you can still shout and cheer. Please do, for every one of them, okay? So before I start this, I just want to share this with you. Everybody has a story, and you're hearing just a snapshot of their story. In a moment, you'll hear from some who are going to share their story publicly. But before we do, I want to look to this tub, to the side. Mario Munoz is getting baptized. And Mario says, I grew up Catholic. I went to Catholic schools all the way through high school. I met and married a Catholic girl in college, but we divorced in 2015 because I was not following Christ, and soon spiraled out of control. A neighbor and a friend shared the gospel with me, and that day I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. Since then, Mario has been following Christ and has met the love of his life, his wife, Katie. They will be married this coming Thursday. So Mario, praise God for your celebration, man. Awesome. So good. So good. Over here to my left, we have Laura Manzanares. And Laura attended Grace and has attended Grace for 4 years. She was baptized in, where are we? Did I miss? Oh, that's not Laura. Okay, we got something out of order, so is that Quinn? Right on, Quinn. Yeah, Quinn, he's 12 years old. Man, I love these stories too, because guys, we forget sometimes what's going on up here is just a macro version of what's going on in the basement with all of our children, the first level, our youth ministry, all the other ministries. Listen to this. Quinn Benson first attended Grace Kids in the third grade. It was so cool because it was a lot like worship in the adult service. Quinn is now in the Trek program with Grace Kids. In service a few months ago, when we were talking about the good news, it clicked. Quinn feels that it is time to take it to the next level and get baptized. He wants to thank everyone who has loved him and showed how to share the gospel and love everyone, no matter what. Awesome job, Quinn. So good. Hey. Way to go, Quinn. That's the last one. Okay. Fantastic. That's so good. Eliza Tagliente. Eliza, 11 years old, attended Grace for a year and a half. Eliza trusted Christ when she was 5. She used to go to Bible study fellowship with her mom, and there she learned about what it meant to accept Jesus. She is a sixth grader in the Trek program with Grace Kids, and feels that now is the time to get baptized and make her faith public. Eliza, we're so proud of you. Where are you at? There you are. Awesome. There's Lauren Manzanares. She's been at Grace for 4 years. Lauren was baptized in the Catholic Church as a baby. And by the way, let me just say something about that. Okay, Lauren, I'm just going to say something, okay? I understand so often in many churches where they baptize or sprinkle children that actually they do it more as a symbolic sign of dedicating that child to the Lord and dedicating the family. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that at all. We just want us all to understand that baptism, immersion is reserved for those who have trusted in Jesus and are believers like Lauren. She said she faithfully attends Grace students on Tuesday nights, so proud of her. And as part of owning her faith, she wants to get baptized here at Grace. Lauren wants to show her commitment to the Lord and thank him for everything that he has done for her. Amen, Lauren. So good. So proud of you. On Tuesday nights, from 6 o'clock till 8:30, 9 o'clock, our student ministry meets. Junior high and high school, phenomenal worship, incredible events, amazing leadership, great communicators. Send your students. You know, we have such an amazing student ministry because it reaches into the community. Over half of our students have parents don't go to church here. They found Jesus in our student ministry. But we need more volunteers, and we need your students to be there. We are about to launch something brand new with our leadership, and we are so excited. Cannot wait. Charity Hoover. Charity Hoover has attended Grace for a little under a year. She trusted Christ at a prayer group last spring. She believes Jesus Christ died on the cross for her sins and was resurrected from the dead. She knows that no matter what happens in her life, she's going to be okay. Charity wants to please God and follow Christ's example to be baptized. Charity? Yeah. You know, Kim Walters, who heads up our guest services and coffee shop, she was in the tub. Charity's just a beautiful picture of someone who has a disability or back is bad. And, you know, if you have a disability, we will make it happen for you. We will baptize you. We have the team and the ability to do that. So we just want you to know we'll take extra special care for you. Arthur, we asked Arthur Meneses if he would share a little bit of his story with us and why he's choosing today to get baptized. Would you welcome Arthur to the stage? Proud of you, bro. Bless you, my friend.
God bless you.
Bless
you. Good morning. My name is Arthur, and this is my story. 20 years ago, I met the love of my life. We raised three wonderful boys and a beautiful girl when she was two. When I met her, I raised her as my own. Like all couples, we struggle with good times and hard times, but we stuck together through all of it. 2 years ago, we split up, and since then, I lost a lot of my love. I watched my mother battle through cancer. I woke up one day with Bell's palsy. The left side of my face paralyzed, and I couldn't even drink, eat, or talk, or brush my teeth. For 3 months, every day was a challenge, just to get through it day by day. I stuttered, and I had battled PTSD. Through my battle, Jesus has been with me. I've broken down to nothing. In the darkness, I asked God for forgiveness. I asked Him to help me forgive. I have seen Him work, even when I couldn't even see any light at the end of my dark days. I battle with my divorce, with my legal problems, with my health. But God has been with me through all of it. For years I've been wanting to get baptized, but I've never done it till today. I'm changing that. Today I'm following Jesus' footsteps and committing to love no matter what. Because He has loved me no matter what. Today is the beginning of a new life for me. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, that's beautiful, man. Yeah, babe. Glory to God's right. And Arthur's getting ready to be baptized. You know, you listen to that. I mean, fighting PTSD, going through divorce. You know, God is not just saving us from eternal damnation. He's saving us from a life of misery, of purposelessness. He's healing us in our brokenness. He's bringing us restoration. We still believe in a God who heals emotionally, physically, spiritually. We still believe in a God that does miracles because we see Him every day. And Arthur is one of those many miracles. So as we celebrate with him and then we prepare to sing and celebrate the other spontaneous baptism, you give glory to God for what He's done. Arthur, we're proud of you. Yeah. Woo! Woo! So let's stand as Pastor Jason and the team lead us in worship. And let's just remember, as you see them baptized, they go into the water, they come out, shout, cheer, praise God. And let's just worship Him now for what He has done and what He continues to do.
us sing this out.
I am weary from the waves crashing over every day. God of mercy, please come rescue me. I am longing for your voice, gentle whisper. Father, tell me everything's alright. Your power, your presence breaks strongholds. King of heaven, will you speak? Mountains move. I believe there will be breakthrough.
There's breakthrough in Jesus. He moves mountains. If we just have the faith of a mustard seed, I don't know what you're going through, but he does. I don't know what you're facing today. Hopefully you have been extraordinarily encouraged as I have. I want you to know something that we just witnessed Preston Helcom with his beautiful wife, Natalie, as they baptized her and she made that decision to follow Christ. I've watched the Helcom family grow up literally. And what a joy it is to see Preston and Natalie, not just believers, but followers. And I believe they'll be at the forefront of leading this ministry into the next three decades and beyond. We also have the chance to witness Lisa Gear. And Lisa just had surgery, two titanium rods put in her back. And she made that courageous step in pain because she said, I'm not waiting another day. I'm following Jesus. Guys, yeah, praise God. I want to put your mind at ease if you're a guest. We don't pass an offering plate. We don't do that. But as members of this church, as people that call Grace home, and by the way, you know, I've had people actually say to me, well, I've only been coming a couple years. I'm not a member. You're a member, okay? You eat at the table. You're part of the family. And this ministry is only able to see this kind of breakthrough and these kinds of miracles because of the investment of every good steward of God's money. And we can't keep doing what we're doing. And we can't reach the goal we have aimed for this year if every one of us are not being faithful to give. Now, we don't pass an offering plate, but you can give online. You can go to the Grace mobile app, go to Grace Connect, our database. You can go to one of the offering boxes in the back. We make it convenient, but friends, it's an act of obedience. And it's not being generous. Oh, God, you know, that was a pretty good service. Here's a few bucks. No. It's God, everything I have belongs to you. And this is the portion I return through the church, not to the church, to you. I'm a fellow giver. I make no apologies. I give first before I spend another penny of the income God has given me to manage. And we can't keep doing what we're doing with our 32 churches in the Amazon, the thousands of needs in this ministry. You know, I've had people actually tell me for a church our size, they're like, wow, you know, you guys, you see a lot less come in than the average church. I said, because we don't guilt people and shame people. We give them the challenge and then we ask them to be obedient. But guys, this year we have aimed for $4.2 million so that once the needs of the ministry and the 52 organizations that we have started and function from our church is cared for, we're gonna take what we have left, hopefully a lot, and we're gonna help hurting families like the mother with four kids whose husband was killed in Afghanistan in a helicopter crash. Like the student who can't get a job and he's got $100,000 in student bills, we might be able to pay a portion of that. For the people that are in this ministry and connected to this ministry who are not making it. And we have chosen to make a difference, but it can happen without every one of us understanding that ministry is no different than any other organization. It is only operational based on the faithfulness of the people. So let your act of giving be an act of worship. As Pastor Jason and the team lead us in this song and close up this service, make that commitment from this day forward to say, Lord, we see lives changed in this ministry. You don't have to wait to hear something in a newsletter. You get to watch life change every single service, every weekend. That's your eternal investment. Make it.
Amen. Amen. We're going to sing one last song together. It's called Praise the King. And as we sing this song, I just want to encourage you as you sing these words. Every sentence seems to start on these verses. There's a reason why. There's a reason why. There's a reason why all of this is happening today. There's a reason why we are celebrating today. And that reason is one man, Jesus Christ. We're going to praise him right now. Let's sing his praise together. Lift his name up.
Curse.
darkness runs from light. And there's a reason why we stand here now, forgiven, as Jesus is alive. Amen. There's a reason why we are not overtaken. There's a reason why we sing on through. So much for being here to celebrate these amazing people making that stand for Jesus. Thank you for being here. I invite you, if you want to, if you got time, stay for the next service, because it's going to be just as exciting. Thank you so much for being here. If you got to go, I get it. We'll see you next week. God bless you all. We love you.